Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our monthly, or actually every Monday call, and tell you that we are now posted on the Republic website, and you can get the entire series right off the website. It's downloaded and on the website, and it is available for anybody that would like to download it to their computer just straight live, the entire teachings that we've been doing on the courtrooms of heaven. We're going in tonight to talk about word legacy, courtrooms, prayers, and how to prepare for that which is coming. And I'm talking about the feast and what God has plans for our future, and if we will go along with those plans versus denying them. So let me go before the Lord in prayer. Father Yahweh, your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are everything. I just ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit to come into every person's room, wherever they are, that their ears be open, that they could not only hear but listen and gain wisdom from what we're saying, and take that which is not of you and cast it aside, but only remember that which comes through your unction and the Holy Spirit and by your word. Father, I'm but a man, and I fail, and I fall short, and I don't always teach everything exactly the way you wanted it to happen, but Father, I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you would give me the words, give me the unction, give me the direction, give me the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit that we can bring forth a word that will change hearts and lives, bring encouragement, and show that which we're doing is the right path we need to be on. For thy glory, in Yeshua Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, everybody. I want to encourage you. I'm going to tell you a couple I can't say it's humorous. It's just the difference in denominations. With different friends of mine, different parts of the country, and some dear, dear friends, and what we're dealing with. I was explaining this to one of my dearest friends who's been a Baptist for 40 years, been involved in his church all that time, been one of the leaders at his church, and I came from that church. I was saved in that church, so I thank God for the Baptist. You know, I thank God for the Independents. I thank God for the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholics. I don't care what denomination you came from, because obviously you've come from somewhere, but I just thank God that God is allowing you to be here with us, that we can share the gospel and the kingdom, and that you can gain understanding. And the discussion I had for about an hour and a half today was about the studies that we've been doing, about the courtrooms of heaven and how the Lord is using us and using this to help set the bride free, that we can be a light in the darkness to everybody else. We need desperately to bring hope to the hopeless, encouragement to those who are downtrodden, to lift up those and let them gain understanding that there's more to the gospel than what they've just read and even the stories they've been told, because most people don't study. They don't study the Bible. They go to church and they listen to what the pastor has to say, and they don't pick it up during the week. Some will pray, and those that press in gain more and more, and I thank God for every one of those. And because of that, I've been through a couple different churches and denominations, and God had me on a path and seeking out what he had to say. And it's a blessing to be where I am. It's not for everybody. Glory to Zion International is an international outreach. It's part of Global Spheres International, and it's a prophetic ministry. We walk in the gifts and the fruit, and we're starting to see mighty things happen. One of the best teachers I know is the pastor teacher there, and since I am a teacher, it becomes very important to me to see what other teachers have to say. I've taught a lot of the same things that Robert Heidler is teaching, but I didn't have near the insight or the depth that he has. So I have gained a tremendous amount of understanding through the word that he's brought forth. Weeks ago, let me see, what week was this? August 4th. I brought a message about that which was spoken. It was the seven categories of curses that can be on a bloodline, so I want to reiterate those. One of them is racism. It starts out with anti-Semitism, and it goes right on into every color, creed, attitude against people because they're different color, different background. And when we look back, all of us go back to the very founding fathers of the universe, the world, from God speaking the word, and we're going to talk about the word tonight. Robbing God in Malachi 3. He says there's a curse. You cause it. You are cursed. It says right here, you are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed God. So quit robbing God. Start giving whatever you can give. It can be time, energy, effort, prayer, finances. Anything he tells you to give, give, and he'll always bless you. Robbing man, businesses. Now, I was a very strong businessman. I've had the fortune of being in some great positions, different country companies, and the word's quite clear, Zechariah 5, 1 through 4, that you can bring a curse upon you from usury, from not handling your business affairs in an honorable manner that's upright before the Lord. Dishonoring parents, Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy, a lot of people say the Old Testament's gone away. No, it didn't. Christ came to fulfill the law because he was the law, and therefore, by becoming the law, he had to have all of the law. So from the beginning to the end, the Word of God is the law of God. Idle words and self-cursing. We're going to talk about a lot about that tonight. Proverbs 109, 17 through 18. Quit speaking the negative about yourself. I'm dealing with a brother-in-law right now who's been living with us for 3.5 weeks, and I tell him all the time, quit saying. He can say, I don't know why this is happening to me. I said, it's happening to you because you chose a lifestyle that's contrary to God. And you keep speaking death on yourself, start speaking life. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Covenant breaking. God, this is a big deal with the Lord. Covenant breaking, 2 Samuel 21. You bring a curse upon your bloodline because of a broken covenant. You make a vow unto the Lord, and you don't honor it. Something very strong. So you have to go before the Lord and break that off. Breaking, broken relationships. So many of us have been through divorce. I'm divorced and remarried, and I was a horrible husband to my first wife and the first couple years of my current wife, and that's been 35 years now, and God got a hold of me and changed all that. So it all goes back to, how do we break a curse? How do we deal with what God has put in front of us? And one of the biggest issues that we got to look at is, how do you move forward, and how do you deal with the legacy that's left behind, and how are we going to handle the spoken word? So when we deal with the most powerful tool that there is, it's not a laser, it's not a jackhammer, it's not a big 18-wheeler, it's not a super dump truck. The most powerful tool there is the spoken word. We either bring life and healing or death and destruction. Our words have more power than we ever thought they are. Their death or life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit thereof, for either death or life. That's Proverbs 18:21. Most of us have heard of childhood old rhyme or song, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. A little jingle, that was absolutely a lie straight out of hell. Even from the time of birth and when the child is in the womb, the words that are spoken can be life and death. Those who speak harshly, who bring about a bad word to the baby in the womb, can bring death to that baby, can bring sickness on that baby. Observe, you got to look in this passage. There are those who speak rashly, and they are like the piercing of a sword. The tongue of the wise brings healings. Fruitful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is credited for but a moment. Proverbs 12, 18 through 19. We have a choice. We either bring life or death, and we bring it on ourselves as well as other people. The word says, he who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Kind words heal and help, while cutting words wound and maim. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. So I just want to encourage everybody, because we're going to go right on through. We're going to tie in God's word to our words and how we go and deal in the courtrooms. Now, Dr. Mosley's on the call tonight. I'm going to call on him several times just to ask him some questions. He's not aware I'm going to do this, but, I do this to everybody. So don't be surprised, Dr. Mosley, if this happens okay. On a regular basis.
No problem.
And
thank you.
in dealing in a courtroom, you know, there's a protocol, is there not, sir?
Yes, there is. Absolutely.
And if you go into that courtroom and you address the judge on the bench, the you know, they say most honorable, but that's just, forgive me, I'm going to use the term judge, the judge on the bench, because it ties back to the judge of life, and you address him improperly or without the proper order or credentials or testimony, what generally happens?
Well, you can be held in contempt of court.
Exactly. And or you're going to lose your case.
That is correct.
So here's a man that sat on the bench. How many years? Was it 24 years?
Well, I was in the practice over 20 years, but I was on the bench after being a prosecutor and a defense attorney. I was on the bench about 8 years.
All right. So 20 plus years total. And in that time period, as a prosecutor, you used, now you correct me. I don't mean to be picking on you, but you correct me. A defendant's words spoken improperly could turn the testimony or turn the trial one way or another. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So if he came to court and he's espousing one thing that has nothing to do with the charges, you know, basically the person is almost considered an idiot or ill-informed, and it could cause the downfall of what he's trying to do. So you have to understand what courtroom you're in, what the charges are, and what the procedure is to get those charges dismissed against you, and or if there's been a judgment, to get the judgment released. Is that the proper word, released instead of dismissed?
Dismissed would be more of a proper word.
All right, dismissed, and a record expunged.
Yes.
All right, so here's a professional that did this in all sides of dealing in professional court system. Here's what the word says. You have to have he who is to come. He says, you are of God, little children, and you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world, and I'm sending, what? He was sending the Holy Spirit. He says, you shall receive the power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me. Now, what is a witness? Now, people say, well, a witness is just your testifying. Well, what's your testimony? Your testimony is literally before a court of law because you're being judged continually for what comes out of your mouth. So you're going to be a witness. Give it a testimony. Isn't that correct, sir?
That is correct. Absolutely.
To me, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. So literally, the Lord was saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from me, through me, by my Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can prepare you. And the Word said, and I don't know exactly the scripture on this one, but he says, you know, there's going to be times when you should be quiet in court. Keep your mouth shut. And let Holy Spirit speak through you.
Yes.
You know, because you can do yourself more harm than good. You become your own stumbling block because you have spoken out of place, out of protocol, and one of the biggest hazards, and we're all guilty of it, and don't everybody that does this, don't take offense or be concerned. Just get it right. When you represent yourself without knowing what you do, oh, forgive me, Fred, there's a term for that.
Well, there's a phrase that he who has himself as a client has a fool.
There you go, yeah. But it's pro something. What is it? It's a legal term. But, you know, you take yourself on as you become your attorney in the courts of law.
Pro se.
Pro se, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, pro se.
You are literally stepping into a realm that the people that are dealing with you have spent the most of their life studying and becoming experts at the protocol, and you subject yourself to their rules and regulations, not knowing what to do.
Right.
You might have studied, and you might have a lot of knowledge. Now, probably the person that's done more of this and has greater knowledge is on the call tonight, and that's Ken. I mean, he's been in some horrible situations. The problem is, and Robert's on the call also, and Robert told me this several years ago, he went before a judge about a foreclosure, and he got all excited and spurted out all these things, and the judge stopped him. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, and Robert, you're more than welcome to correct me, but it was basically the judge said to him, you're after justice. This is not a court of justice. This is a court of administration. We're here to administer the law, which is literally corporate law, not justice. And the, and the judge actually gave him some direction as to go to help him do things properly and gave him time to do something. I'll call on Robert later, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. So when we go forward, we got to understand something. The words that come out of our mouth are like the words that come out of the Lord's mouth. They're arrows. You know, when God shows you a vision of an angel with a bow and arrow, or you talk about in the past with the bow and arrow, the arrow always represented the word, the words from the Lord. Not necessarily as a fivefold ministry or anything, but as literally the word. And the word says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, so that any one of us can prophesy and encourage one another. Well, what is our quiver? Where do we get these words? How do we prophesy? They come from the Lord. They're like arrows out of Holy Spirit's mouth. That's why I said we should all prophesy. Because we bring the breath of God when we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and God is working in you in both to do his will and good pleasure at that point, that he can bring forth a knowledge and revelation that you didn't know about. So when you are submitted through your spirit, and preachers, we love to say the spirit man versus the natural man, but so when you're submitted, your spirit man can go into the heavenlies. And David talks about this all the time in prayer, that you go before the Lord in the third heavens. Now, the first heaven is the earth and the atmosphere around it. The second heaven is immediately after that, and the third heavens is where the Lord sits. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's way out in this far universe. It has nothing to do with the universe. It has to do with dimensions. It's like going from, I was in the wrong court at one time. I had I needed to go into traffic court, and I got in civil court. I realized I was on the wrong floor, right court number, wrong floor, and they started proceedings on, oops, I'm in the wrong court. I got to go from this glory, this court, to the other glory. I had to go to a higher place in the building. It was like two floors up. And literally, that's what you're doing when you go before the Lord in the third heaven. You're going from glory to glory, dimension to dimension. So heaven is here. The Lord said heaven here on earth because he was talking about himself, but he was also talking about the spiritual places are here on earth and available to us to walk in, talk in, speak into, and visit. So when we look at Jesus, our Lord, he is our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, our baptism in the Spirit. He's the wonderful gift from God. He is not only our salvation, he is our inheritance. We literally get to partake of our inheritance. So, and he says, we are his inheritance and he is ours. So when you take a look at this, you go, wow, there's a lot to this. We need to understand, how am I going to go properly into the courts that I can get a audience with the judge, where the prosecutor can be held in quiet, can be, you know, quietened, so I can present my side of the case. Well, you have to understand what court you're supposed to be in. What is the case against you? What's the judgment that's been against you in your bloodline, and you haven't even known it? So God says, I'm going to come as a breath through the Holy Spirit that you could gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom that's not your own. So it comes in, and I'm going to Dr. Mosley's book right now. I've read through this several times. I'm going to read it several more times. But we have to understand what authority we come in. Now, we have different authorities. The authority of the Lord, okay, that's one of the things that we have to understand, and that we have positional authority as a believer, and what position has God put you in. Are you an intercessor? Are you somebody that's in the ministry of helps? What position? What is your positional authority? Now, I'm a chaplain to the nation. Okay? I can get in a fight and have a better chance of winning it in certain arenas than somebody that is a believer, but they've never taken a position because I have a position of authority. So there's a law of authority. This is a law that seems to be particularly dear to the heart of God, for both believers and unbelievers appear to violate it daily with impunity. It is recorded in one of those letters to Paul, to the Romans. Paul wrote it. He said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that may be ordained of God." Romans 13:1. The law applies equally to the employer-employee relationship. It applies to a husband and wife, to government citizen. It applies to the church. Now, it's funny. I'm going to refer to him in many different hats. So this is Reverend Mosley that I'm going to call on right now. And the law of authority, being from the bench and from a prosecutor and a defender, is there something in the law of authority that is not stated in these couple paragraphs that we need to pick up and understand to help us in this battle and going into the courts, that we will have the right procedure, right words to say? Is there an additional bit of wisdom, because I know you've got a whole lot more than this book, that you could say about the law of authority?
Well, first of all, as you already pointed out, is that we have to recognize the authority that we're under. What comes to mind is the phrase power of attorney. And most of us understand the importance of a power of attorney in the natural realm. And, for instance, if you, chaplain, had given me your power of attorney as it relates to your personal affairs, as your business affairs, whatever the case might be, I stand in your stead. I can go to your bank, and I can access all of your bank accounts. I can go to your insurance company. I can make adjustments with respect to any policies that you might have. If that is a power of a, if it is a general power of attorney, because there's a specific power of attorney and there's a general power of attorney. If you give me a general power of attorney, then I can operate just as Chaplain Wade Butler can operate, and I would have complete authority to do any and everything that you would be allowed to do.
All right. Now, this goes right into the next law that you talk about in your book, and that's the law of overstepping. And I believe everybody in the church has done it far too many times. Can you give us some wisdom about the law of overstepping?
You know, I find it to be a very interesting law to become familiar, because if we recall, every time the children of Israel got into disobedience, then God would bring another nation to hoard over them, if you will. But then what that nation would do, it would go beyond the parameters of the authority that God had given it, which means then they would have overstepped. And once they overstepped, then it gave God the authority of that situation returned to God to punish them for their overstepping. And in so many instances in the church and in government and in penal institutions, even in the home, and just dealing very briefly with what is taking place with some of these abuse cases that are very prevalent in the news right now. In many states, parents have the authority to discipline a child and to use corporal punishment. But the question is whether or not there is an overstep and whether that parent goes beyond the authority that parent has. But going back to various aspects of government and otherwise, in many instances, almost in every area of society, those who are in authority, when they don't recognize that they have boundaries as it relates to their authority, when they overstep, chaplain, they bring themselves under judgment for the overstep, for the taking advantage of the authority that God has given them.
And, you know, overstepping has probably been one of the greatest problems in the church.
Yes.
I'm going to speak from my Baptist side because I got saved in the Baptist church. You know, I joined the prayer group the next day. I was in the middle of the prayer groups. I went to every service. If there was a prayer breakfast, I was there. If there was a luncheon, I was there. And since I owned my own business, it was easy for me to do. I mean, I just jumped headlong into this thing. And they had a group called the Centurions that were the prayer warriors at that church. And we got into some areas of overstepping. You literally don't go take on categories of the enemy that you've not been instructed to take on.
Absolutely.
You know, you go, and forgive me, folks, you might not agree with me. It doesn't really matter if you agree with me or not. Seek the Lord on this. Seek Holy Spirit on this. So we'd get in, and, man, we'd start praying, and we'd bind Satan, and we'd bind this, and we'd bind that, and every, you know, he said he'd given us all authority over every power and principality. Yet even Michael would not rebuke Satan. There's a level of authority in governance. And as the Lord has legions of angels, he's got the archangels, and then he has literally generals and colonels and captains and lieutenants and, you know, right on down to the ranks. In the angelic world, and so does Satan. Satan always mirrors everything God does, but he tries to pervert it. So when you get into a battle, and David and we, when all of us went into this prayer 2 weeks ago, I know it set a lot of people free, and it also caused some issues with some people because they took on principalities they weren't prepared to take on. They overstepped their boundaries. But because we were leading them in that, they had the right because we were literally standing, and this is Connie's got me on this one. We stood in the gap without saying we were standing in the gap for all of you that were on the call. Now, I don't want to stand in the gap unless God tells me to do so because you put yourself in position of two things. First of all, you put yourself in between God and the person if God is dealing with the person. That's not a good place to be. Secondly, you put yourself between the demonic forces that are coming against that person and the person. That's a good place to be if God's given you the authority to be there. So in the law of words, when we speak life and death, when we stand in the gap, literally for somebody, or for the nation, or for the city, recognize that you are being raised up as intercessors for your family first, your land second, for your city next, your state next, your region, and then the nation. And say, wait, why do we have to go through all those things? Well, the nation is divided up in 8 regions. There are principalities over every one of those regions. Every state has principalities over it. Every city has principalities over it. And even churches have principalities that come in to try to affect churches, businesses, governance, hospitals. Hospitals are one of the worst places in the world. You can walk in there and feel the demonic influence unless you go in there praying. So you can bind the enemy from yourself, but binding them from everybody else, you need to understand where you're going with it, and you need to understand that they are guidelines through the Word. Now, in our families, we, as head of our family, be it husband and wife, whoever's the head, have that authority, and we have the right to stand in the gap for our family. And your word, your spoken word, and how you pray can make a difference for not only you and your children's children, but for the generations to come. If a curse can pass on up to 4 generations, I'm going to explain how a curse does that, whereas those who are righteous, he says, the blessings of the Lord pass on to 1,000 generations. Well, God says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. He says, be sober and diligent because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Now, Satan loves to pounce on immature believers because of their lack of knowledge. He loves to pounce on all of us. And if he can get a big guy, he's even more happy with that. Taking down pastors brings him great glee. I mean, he just rejoices in it. Because God wants us to fulfill our divine destiny, and our destiny has been spoken generation after generation. A child is born and it has problems. And, you know, are you ever going to be anything, boy? Well, you just spoke a curse. What were the curses spoken by your father or your mother or your relatives over you? Break them. They don't have the authority over you, but those curses were accepted in your psyche, in your person, and they became a negative confession. Well, I don't know if I'm ever going to be what I should be. I come from a family of five generations of alcoholics. And I fought, and you know, I grew up in the country. I was an old country boy. And the city boys and I, we kind of understood each other. I'd stand up in a heartbeat. I didn't mind getting in a fight. Matter of fact, I enjoyed them. And I boxed all the way up to Golden Gloves. Got whipped quite a few times when I got up there, but anyhow. The whole thing comes back to understanding the truth, and the truth can make you free. In Christ, our confession becomes that he has set us free. He's given us all authority over every power and principality and rule of wickedness in heavenly places that comes against you. I think that's left out of the word. That's dealing with you. Now, you want to get in a fight? Join the church and get in a fight with those, you know, those that are that head of that church. That pastor has the authority over that church. Break off those demons. Now, I'm literally going to say things. And a couple of us have had conversation about there's things you don't say, you know, particularly to young believers. I'm going on the fact that most of you are mature. When I was dealing with the church I had before the last one, literally, every time somebody got involved in that church. All right, Edward, I got to mute you. You are giving me some bad background here. We kept on experiencing something. I asked the Lord, what is it? Show me. And I looked out, and I swear, before God, man, it looked like a gorilla chained to the roof of the church at the steeple. And I said, what is that? And he says, the Jezebel spirit. It's a spirit that speaks lies and is an alpha spirit. It can be in females or males. So we started praying and breaking and canceling and dealing with it. And finally, we literally, I saw one night where we broke the chains and the church got set free. I surrendered that church to another congregation, to another pastor, because I was an interim pastor. I wanted to deal with these kind of things and deliverances. And much to my surprise, his wife was full of the Jezebel spirit. We brought it right back in and worse. And I said, Lord, how do you want me to deal with it? He says, you surrendered your authority. I went, wow. I didn't think about that. He says, you gave it to the right man, but he needs to understand deliverance. He needs to understand the spiritual realm. And the church ended up failing. It broke my heart. There was 180 people in that church. But he said, I went before him in tears, and I said, did I fail you? And he says, no, you did what you were supposed to. The man that followed didn't understand his authority and position. So God said he wants us to be predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Well, to be conformed to the image of his son, we've got to understand that he is the judge, and we're going to judge the fallen angels. But we're not to judge each other. We're let the word judge each other, and we go before the Lord, before the courtroom, where the Godhead is, and come before him with praise, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, you come in humble with thanksgiving. You have the judge of the universe sitting on the throne. And don't let the enemy squeeze you out of what God wants you to do. You have to understand the court you're in. And therefore, to understand the court you're in, you've got to hear from the Holy Spirit to understand what the curse on the bloodline is. But if you walk in and you don't know where you are, then you could be in the wrong court. Now, I know this comes as a surprise, but you can see these in the books that we've been sending out. Now, Dr. Mosley just sent me, I have 10 more of his book, and I've ordered 10 more of the others. So those of you who have not had the books, if you'll contact me at the end of this call, I'll give you the information, and we'll get these books in hand. So I want you to everybody to read these books, and then I want you to read them again. Start out with the From God's Hand to Your Land. And that's probably the easiest step guide. And then there's the books dealing with the courtrooms of God and dealing with protocol and how to go about. Now, you're going to hear me say that I don't agree with a couple things that Jeanette says, and that's standing in the gap. You stand in the gap for your family, your kids, your wife, your brother, your sister, you know, but you're not even the head over your brother and sister, unless they live in your household and submitted unto you. But ask the Lord, do I stand in for them, or you just intercede for them? But the Word says you got to submit unto God and resist the devil. Well, wait, you just got through saying earlier that you don't have authority over the devil. No, we have authority, but we ask for that authority, and if God doesn't give it, you don't go after the devil. You're going after the prosecuting attorney. You let God deal with the prosecuting attorney. I tell you what, and Judge Mosley can back me up on this, I don't care if it's a defense attorney or a prosecuting attorney, if they get out of line. Sir, did you not sit them straight?
Well, yes, you can, because the judge is the ultimate authority in that courtroom.
Yeah. So you know, you've got to understand that you're building an identity for you for the future of what's coming. You are getting set free. Your bloodline is getting set free. You're gaining an understanding of the curses and the word. And he says, you know, the Lord says, be diligent because, you know, the adversary, he's looking for a reason to accuse you. So every time we stumble, I mean, every little thing we do, an attitude, we get in an argument with our husband or wife, or we yell at the kids, or we cuss, or we watch something we shouldn't watch on the internet or on the TV, there's the enemy. Look at him. You know, look at him. He's doing this, or she's doing this. And you say, well, you know, I can't do anything. No, God's saying he'll quicken you. Holy Spirit will say, you shouldn't have said that. I have at times giving presentations in business and in the pulpit, and I'll say something, and it didn't come out the way Holy Spirit wanted it. And I'll go, wait a minute, that's not what Holy Spirit wanted. I was wrong. Forgive me. This is what's being said. So there was no grounds for the enemy to bring against me in the courtroom. I didn't realize it was a courtroom at the time. But the Lord is good, and he's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him. And this past year, it was a year called Taste and See That the Lord is Good. It was called the Year of the Honeycomb. Now, I know a lot of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but every year, just like in the Chinese calendar, every year has significance on the Hebrew calendar. We're finishing year 5774 and going into 5775. So we're just finishing the year as we go forward, and where God is taking us, we're coming to a narrow place. These last week has been some of the most difficult times for many people. It was a time of confusion, not getting things done, overwhelming presence, just battles. You know, I've got an unbelieving brother-in-law in the house now, and it's a battle every day because of what he brings in, and he's a nice guy. Everybody loves him. I mean, you go, man, he's such a nice guy. Yeah, he is. He got so many problems. I can't believe you understand why this is all upon me. Well, it's upon me because you keep speaking upon you, and you surrendered to the wrong spirit. So the Word says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on them. That's what you're supposed to speak out of your mouth. It's not that you can't give a word that says, you know, I've had this situation. My pastor teacher became blind in one eye. His retina was detached. And that's not a negative testimony. His retina was detached. He was going blind. And he sought the Lord, and he had surgery, and the Lord healed him. Okay? Now, well, he said he had surgery. Yeah. I have 8 heart stents. And he said, well, you're a man of faith. Yeah. I've laid hands on other people and seen cancers literally fall off on the ground. I had people heal from heart disease. Well, why haven't you been healed? Well, physician, heal thyself. You'll find out. You know, walking is and talking is easier when you're totally surrendered and you don't have any area where the enemy has brought accusations against you. So you got to have faith to live a lifestyle pleasing unto God and be able to speak it to create words that are going to be spoken in wisdom and grace that change the world around you. That comes through a knowledge of surrendering unto the Lord, that you can do so earnestly and do it with love and thanksgiving and a grateful heart. Now, I'm going to shift gears. I talked about earlier, we were going to talk about the Word. We have been talking about the Word. I want to bring you some word about what's happening. Now, I'll give you myself as an example. My wife and I have had a business, and it's her business. It's family business. It's 172 years old. It's the oldest business of its type in the world. Our business partners just informed us that they're not going to do business with us anymore because they don't like paying us. That, literally, that's basically what they said. And we sought the Lord. She asked the Lord. She says, Lord, I just ask that you wouldn't let Chuck Pierce sleep until he calls me or he has somebody call. Chuck could not sleep all Monday night. Y'all got to get a kick out of this. John, you particularly. Rockwell, Chuck couldn't. He didn't sleep anyhow, but he got up in the middle of the night. And finally, he called Marty Cassidy at 6 o'clock in the morning. And Marty was on the phone at 9 to me. And she says, Chuck couldn't sleep. He wasn't going to let me sleep. And what's going on? And I told her what was going on. And she prayed, and she had a word. And that word was life. It wasn't death. And this goes to what was taught on Sunday. He says, don't look back. Put your hands to the plow and look ahead. Look past where you are. And I'm saying this is a word for everybody. Look past where you are and past the horizons to that which God said you would be and that which he said you would have. New horizons and new places are opening up for each and every one of us this year. And you want to know why? It's because we have taken the effort to study these words, study the courtrooms of heaven, study what Dr. Mosley and Dr. McMillan and these other people have given based on the Word of God and through the Word of God. And you've listened to some crazy preacher in Houston, Texas, and you are getting set free. Now, God is saying that he's doing this because he wants you set free as the bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle to break off the curses of the past generations that you can be strong enough, grounded enough, rooted enough, free enough to deal with what's coming ahead. Ooh, that sounds kind of ominous. Well, yeah, it is. We are entering the most tumultuous times in history, man. This nation is facing things that it's never seen before on its shores. And God is saying, I want you to finish this year strong because next year I want you to be stronger as we begin 5775 because of that which is coming. There are winds of change coming that are going to bring terror to people's hearts. And people are literally going to faint, fall dead from fear. It's not just this nation, it's the world. The Word says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, pay attention to what the prophets are prophesying. Pay attention to what God is saying through the teachers about the past year. How did you change? Did you grow closer to the Lord? Did you learn anything? And about the vision of the new year. You know, we are facing with this ISIS crisis and with all these other things, a terror in the land that we've not known before. And I'll give you some examples. And what God is saying is, I'm at the door knocking and I want to enter into you. I want you to understand that, you know, last year was the year of the honeycomb. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the year literally meant. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And that we need to understand that we're going into a year of the Bible that is different from the past because Psalms 34 says taste and see, but I want you to understand that now there's a new wind blowing. There's a thing. There's something shifting in the atmosphere. And God is saying, I'm preparing you that are on this call and many people out there as a remnant that you can have a head start on the year that you're going into and prepare for things you didn't know about. Yeah, this is the Lord saying, I'm getting you ready to go into a new area. Not a new career, not new areas of the land, but a new area in the spirit. It's a fact that we've all got to face. He says, I'm giving you an understanding of that which is being released, which is knowledge of the Lord, to go into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And most of you haven't got a clue about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because in denominational churches you weren't taught it. And you say, this is Jewish. Well, it's not Jewish, it's Hebrew. Jewish men a tribe. September 24th through 26th this year is Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is October 3rd, 4th. And remember, on the Hebrew calendar, the day begins at 6 p.m. in the evening, so 6 p.m. the following evening. Now, the reason I'm giving the emphasis on this is because God's calendar never stopped. It was 5774 last year. We're starting a new year this year, which is 5775. So we're only in the year 2014, and we've not entered 2015. When the Gregorian calendar was set in place and Constantine began it all, he took the festivals and ceremonies of many of the pagan tribes and incorporated them into what he considered Christianity so that he could gain authority and rule over the people. And he demanded that all of the Hebrew practices and feasts and celebrations be stopped. God says in the Word, there's three feasts that will be perpetual. They're celebrated in heaven, and they will be perpetual for all eternity. So if God says it, I would think it'd be pretty important that we find out what it means. What are these calendar years? And see, the Hebrew calendar is on the moon cycles, not the sun cycles. So as we enter into these what's called the holy days, we've got to understand something. God is moving to break free his people, and it's beginning now. September 24th. Well, what can we expect to happen? There's going to be greater authority through your words. Remember, I talked about positional authority? God is raising you up into a position of authority to speak forth his words in a prophetic way that you've never done before, and don't be afraid of it. And I'm not saying you're not going to be spurring out prophecy in tongues. You might. But what he's giving you is the authority because of your training to step forward to be light in the darkness. He's bringing out a reconciliation of broken relationships to restore hope. Now, I'm not talking about if you're married, you're going to go back and try to remarry your previous wife or husband. I'm talking about relationships that you're in, your family, your work relationships, your ministry relationships. God's saying, I'm going to bring about broken relationships to restoration through hope. He's going to bring about a continuing recovery of our lost inheritances and prophetic promises. Now, I didn't look at the call list. I don't know if Martha's on tonight or not. But my cousin, Martha King, last week shared about the vision God gave her about inheritances and that they were coming. They were being overtaken. And I went into an explanation about how the week before, when David led us all in prayer, as a butler, I went back all the way back to Israel to break ancestral curses, to break bloodline curses that withheld the inheritances of ministries and gifts and finances in our family. Now, immediately the enemy comes and tells us that our business is now over, tells us that we are no longer going to do business. Your 172 heritage and your heritage in my wife's business is done. We're not going to pay you anymore. We've paid you too much, blah, 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 blah. We sit there and listen to that, and I rejoiced. And most people say, how could you rejoice? You know, this is your total income, and that's not my total income, but it's, you know, a major chunk of our income and all this business and this heritage. Well, I have a legacy and a heritage, and my wife has a legacy and a heritage, and it was for blessings, not curses. We broke off the bloodlines of poverty. We broke off the curses that were on our bloodlines where the giftings came. Martha gets the word as a cousin, and it was Martha Butler. She's Martha King now. And she came on and gave that testimony. Now, many of you got it. Some didn't quite understand what she was saying. I said, Martha, take a look at network marketing. You know how you start at the top, and then you try to get two who each get two, who each get two, who each get two, who each get two, and you keep spreading that out. It looks like a Christmas tree. I said, so we went all the way back, and I said, there's what's called a power leg or a money leg, and then there's the building leg. Now, many of you don't know anything about network marketing, but that's okay. It's how you build a business. Well, in that, I said, we're on the money leg or power leg. We're the true bloodline on my side of the family because I can relate it all with that. You're on the other side of the bloodline, but guess what? By setting the butlers free all the way back up to the beginning of the butlers and how they came from England, everybody in the butler bloodline has that curse broken off of them. Now, they could have other curses. Those curses could still be there in other ways, but what the Lord is saying, I don't say but yet, because but negates, but yet, because we broke off the curses all the way back, we start dealing in a new level of inheritances. So it's the giftings and the promises of the Word, the prophetic promises, are being rediscovered. You say, well, what does all that mean? Well, it might be prophecy, tongues, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, crowns, missions, giving. It could be realignment of your assignment and assets. God is saying, I'm bringing about a new movement in the land, and this is not just for me. There's somebody else also prophesied this. It's not just for Martha. It's for every one of you. This doesn't mean that you have to move to see God's will. He says, I'm going to bring about a movement within your life, like a music score is called a movement. I'm going to bring about music in your life that you haven't heard. So there's going to be a sign in the heavens in your life that you haven't seen before. There's a word that was released back a year ago, and a lot of people didn't know anything about it, but it was Holy Spirit saying, do not fear or be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen and help you, and I will uphold you through my righteous right hand. It's out of Isaiah, and he says, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than yours, and I'm making a way of lining things up for the rest of your life and seasons that you and your generations shall be set free, shall break off that which has been held back. The prodigals are going to be returned. Those who have been pierced through the hurts of this last new age and through the movement of the gay and lesbian movement, through the liberal movement, I'm going to restore the inheritance of that which I had for you, that you can be set free and therefore set the captives free. Now, I like that kind of word.
Amen.
We are moving in a new realm, in a new place, and I'm taking a little longer today than I had before because I want you to see something. I want you to see the signs and wonders in heaven. He says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts. But God's saying, you become a sign and wonder, and they're everywhere. Can you see the signs? Can you see in somebody's life that this person is no longer walking in addiction, that the families are being restored, that finances are changing, that crows are no longer bothering your land because the doves moved in, that the generational bondage has been broken off where a vow was broken unto the Lord and there was no opportunity for missions, and now Nancy's still over there. And God is saying, awake all you who sleep. These are times that are perilous, more than you can imagine. Literally, ISIS has entered our land. One of the people, and this I'm going to share with you, and don't be frightful, do not receive fear. One of the five that Obama released illegally, and he still hasn't come to reckoning for this, that he released illegally without going through Congress, without doing the proper channels, was caught back in the scene, back in the United States, in San Antonio, in a shopping mall last week. They got him on camera checking out the mall. Why is he checking out the mall? Do you think it's to shop? No. These times are perilous. I mean, we're in a heartbeat, thousands of lives can be changed. If thousands of lives are changed, how many do they affect? How many family members could be damaged, injured? How many schools, how many shopping malls, how many places do these insane jihadists intend to attack? Well, I hate to tell you this, but they're going to bring about an attack on this nation that will make 9/11 look like kindergarten. That's their plan. And I've talked to DOD operators. I've talked to people in the government and some of those acronym agencies that you don't like to talk about on the phone. You know, they'll figure that one out. God's saying, prepare for rain. The rain of unrighteousness shall rise up, but I'm preparing a rain of Holy Spirit anointing because a new day is dawning, a new truth is rising up, And I'm going to bring an horizon to you that you got to look past the horizon and realize the truth that I'm bringing from the days of Daniel. His knowledge shall greatly increase of me, says the Lord. And I'm going to come and bring revelation knowledge in your life to set you free, that you become a new creation, because old things have passed away, not just in your salvation, but in the revelation knowledge that you can set your bloodline free. And you say, people say, well, I've never heard this teaching before. So what? It's new for the season. It's new for this time. God is positioning you for a promise. And that promise is that you're going to get your inheritance. Now, that inheritance could be in finances. It could be in your sons and daughters return home unto you. It could be in that you're no longer fighting cancer. Because the word is that in this season, and this was a word that was given in Smith Wigglesworth's time, that we are entering into the season. And if you don't know who Smith Wigglesworth is, look him up. He pulled 32 people off the deathbed. Matter of fact, he walked into one church where a funeral was because God told him to, grabbed the man out of the casket and threw him against the wall 7 times. People jumped out of windows, ran outdoors, went and got their guns and came back to kill him until he walked out of the church hand in hand with the man that had been dead for 3 days. This was before embalming. But God is saying, I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to cast out demons. I'm going to do that which I promised through my saints who have purified themselves with my word, with my way, with my will, who are speaking the proper word, understanding the laws of life and death in knowledge. And I'm going to bring about a new heart within you. So if I'm preaching tonight, so be it. I'm preaching. But I want you to be set free. I want you to cry out now. We're going to start taking these next steps. You have dealt with your own land. Continue to deal with your own land. That's you. Deal with the property that you live on. It could be rental property or you could own it. Get it set free. Get it clean. Because we're going to move on next week starting to deal with the cities that you live in. God is raising you up as a light in the darkness. You're going to become a light in your cities. Well, I'm not prepared to be a light. You know what? God's preparing you to be a light. You're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the whole building being fitted together grows into a temple of the living God, whom you're also being built together as a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, that you can go forth and be a light in the darkness and shine. He's going to give you new eyes, new ears that you can hear and receive an understanding. He's going to restore your houses. Now, some of you, it's literally going to be the house that you were battling to keep is going to be turned over to you. Some of you say, well, I lost my house. Well, you know, God's got a better house. He was able to bring about life from death, and he can raise up a house for you. Raise up a house for me. We lost ours. We lived 4 years with other people, and God gave us an inheritance, and the house that we have now is better than the custom home that we had before. So understand, the enemy's coming to steal. He's going to bring accusations to you. Every little thing you do, let Holy Spirit quicken you. Ask from this day forward, Holy Spirit, quicken me every day to recognize any reason that the enemy would bring before the courts of heaven. And what court? Is it a court where is it of lust and perversion? Is it a civil court? Is it a court of property? Is it a court of, you know, say, well, what are these courts? Well, he wants to steal from you. If he steals from you, he can kill your hopes and dreams and destroy that which God has planned for you and therefore bring about death of the vision. And God says, I don't want you to be subject to that. I want you to be set free. And free at last. So, Lord, we just come before thee in the precious name of Jesus. I'm asking, Father, that you would allow us into this courtroom tonight as an ambassador of reconciliation, Lord, to stand for our family and ourselves, to repent for any sin that any of us has committed within our bodies, upon our lands, or that the land has upon it, that we would be able to be free and set those that we love free of any addictive curse that has been put upon us by the enemy, We ask, Lord, that we would understand protocol, that we could come into thy courts with thanksgiving and praise, humble ourselves before you and before the mighty hand of God, where the enemy has gained a legal right to bring destruction to this temple or to stop the inheritance of that which you spoke was ours, that it would be cleared, dismiss the charges, expunge it from our record, and move us into the court of reconciliation, righteousness, holiness, mercy, and grace. For we do so pleading for your mercy, Lord God, that you would wash us with the blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross to pay for every debt, that we could repent, ask forgiveness, move our cases from where the enemy has it against us into the courtroom, from the courtroom of judgment to the throne of grace and mercy, that you would unveil that which has been glassed over on our eyes and our understanding, that we would know the truth, and the truth would set us free, we'd walk in it. So we plead our case before you, O Lord, that you would fight against our enemy. We take hold of the fullness of thy armor. We ask with all of our strength, O Lord God, and all that is the mercy that you give us, that you would remove us from the court of the accuser, that you would set us free in our bloodline, our children, and our children's children, to a thousand generations, that all the curses, both of sins, of iniquities, of curse caused, anything that the enemy had a right to accuse us of, we ask, Lord, to forgive our bloodlines, ourselves, and our families, that it could not fall and pass us and go to our children, or to our children's children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, but that the sin would be remitted, expunged from our record, that even though as we become weak and tired and understand that we've been exhausted by these attacks, sickness, disease, infirmities, every area of our lives, debt, distress, bondages of any area, we choose right now to surrender unto you, Lord God, any sin that is committed and sins of omission, because we did not do, or our ancestors did not do what we were supposed to do. The vows were broken. Lord God, we ask that you would cancel these things, and we agree with you and decree and declare that your Spirit is upon us. We choose to receive your Holy Spirit and the anointing that is upon us to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. This is an acceptable year unto the Lord. This is a year of a new door, a new beginning, that we're going to embrace the winds of heaven rather than run from them, and recognize that even though the enemy is going to try to bring a spirit of fear, that you're going to bring a spirit of deliverance and healing, that you're going to bring to prepare us in wisdom and discernment, that you're going to cause us to lay aside every provision that we need, be it physical or spiritual, mental or emotional. You're going to repair the broken places, bring about our inheritance, and you're going to show us the horizon that we're to look beyond it, that we can walk into a new harvest with signs, wonders, and miracles. For thy glory, we declare it, decree it, and thank you for it in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And you be glorified.
Amen.
Woo! Glory! That's, I know I'm preaching, but I couldn't help it.
That was good. That was great, bro.
You know, I used to have a good time preaching out of the pulpit. I'd rather be in a pulpit than anywhere. And you've become my congregation that I'm preaching to, so you got to bear with me. I didn't mean to do it, but
we're
that's being
blessed. Yeah.
So, I know there's many of you that have concerns, that have prayers, that have needs. And we're going to start addressing those needs because I want you to recognize it. And if there's anybody that I have failed to get that which I said I would, I know that I owe Deidre some books. I thought I had them, but I didn't. And I do have one. I got to get it to her. So I make a public apology to her and anybody else that I need to get things to or call. We all have times of troubles. We all have times of being overwhelmed. I'm writing an international grant, and it's been incredibly consuming. That doesn't make a difference, though. I made a promise to do something. It will be done, but I'm running behind, so all bear with me. These are some of the challenges I have to look at. Look at what in my horizon. When we found out that we were losing the place of business, where we have prospered greatly this past year. It's one of the been one of the best years financially of our lives, and it was partly due to inheritance, partly due to business. That God is saying, all right, I'm shutting that door, and we're sitting there going, my God, this has been one of the best years of my life. And you're shutting that door? He says, yeah, because I got something better. Okay, I got something greater. I got something more important.
Amen.
I got something for you to do and for you to take to the people in my kingdom. Set the captives free. So that's my desire for every one of you, that you could be set free, that you could set others free. Now, all of us have churches we're involved in. I'm involved with Glory of Zion, GOZ.org, if you want to go there. Incredible teaching, incredible word. We're a radical church. If you're scared of somebody dancing in the aisles, lifting up their hands, or falling down in the presence of God, get over it. God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. There are pastors, teachers from all denominations that have come there as a place of refuge to be healed and sent back out. I have met pastors from every denomination that I'm aware of in that church that have come there to be healed. So if you don't have a place, I recommend mine. If you have a great place, praise God. Find where the word is being taught, where the truth is being taught, not make you feel good. It sets you free. That's what's really good, is to be set free. You're not going to like it at times. It's going to be difficult. It's going to cause challenges. You're going to go places you've never gone in the spirit. Grow. God never intended us for us to camp out anywhere. That's why he built his tabernacle in a tent until he got to his holy city.
Chaplain Butler.
Yes.
Gregory Allen of Johnson, Colorado Springs. Do you know of any 508s in Colorado at all, or Colorado Springs?
You know, the problem becomes that not enough of the mainline churches even understand the 508 ministry.
Wish they'd asked the question.
Yeah.
I could probably boil it down to a five-minute explanation.
You know, and there were places of great word. One of them is, and I can't think of the name of the church. It was Dutch Sheets Church in Colorado Springs. I'll have to look that
Freedom
up.
Church. Well, it used to be Freedom Church.
Yeah, that was one of the best churches in Colorado. There's another good one in Denver. It's on the north side, and I'll have to look up names. It's been a long time since I've been over that way.
I've got transportation issues on that until I'm with the non-citizen national passport and things of that nature.
You know, those are areas of bondage that, you know, they're not as important as your spiritual freedom right now. Get your spiritual freedom in line. If you're already, you know, you've already surrendered those things, and I understand that because I've studied those things. When Tim Turner was in office, Tim says, wait, are you going to surrender those things? I said, Tim, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to be Secretary of State. And I said, then I have to have these things so I could travel internationally. Now, God had me step down from that position, but I was the Secretary of State years ago. And what you got to understand is, what does the Lord want you to do? And that's what you have to check for any and every one of you. Ask the Lord, what does he want you to do? Now, you can find a place where you get great teaching. Even Glory of Zion is a 501, okay?
Yeah, they all are.
Now, they all are. My ministry, I have two ministries, okay? One of them is a self-supporting ministry. That's In His Name Ministries / Wade Butler, that I have people send money in to donate for the books and stuff. And people have been wonderful about that. And the other one is Gilead Ministries. Gilead Ministries is a healing and wellness ministry, and that was a 501. Now, it was a 501 because I had to deal with the government, because I was dealing with hospitals. Do I still have that? Yes. If the government wants to take it over, they can have it. Okay, you got to, I love Kenneth Hagin. I don't know if you were familiar with Kenneth Hagin.
I've heard of him.
All right. Kenneth passed. Brother Hagin's passed on now. I was there when he prophesied his own death. He got healed at 16, 17 years old from diseases that there was no healing for, and never looked back, never sick again. And then the day he died, he sat down in a rocking chair and passed away. His recliner. And the Lord told him he was taking him home. And he had a saying that I love. You got to be as smart as a cow. Now, cows are some of the dumbest animals in the world. He says, chew the cud and spit out the sticks. So chew the cud means you redigest. You chew it, they digest, they have multiple stomachs, and you don't know about cows. They have layers of stomach that actually regurgitate it, chew it again, and swallow it again. So that's gross. But a cow would break down, and he would literally, on that second chewing, spit out any sticks that he'd swallowed. We have to be as wise as that. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We can walk in and get blessed from a place that's 501c3.
Now, I disagree with that.
Well, you know, that's your opinion. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. I'm getting blessed at Gloria Zion.
Well, for me, if they've done the research to figure out the 508, which isn't all that difficult, it's just, a lot of folks made it out to be a bit bigger of an issue than it really is. But they've done their homework to do a 508, and they've also done the spiritual discernment to see that in the first place.
Well, one of the things I like about the church I'm in, okay, yeah. And we're not going to get in debate tonight. I will not allow that, okay?
I'm definitely not going there either, but I'm just asking if you knew it of any decent places, and you brought up Freedom Church.
Yeah, Freedom Church is a good spot, but Freedom Church is a 501. They did this because of the governing laws that are over them. Okay, now it is, again, administrative laws, and we have been duped, and I recognize that.
Yeah.
The importance is that you get set free spiritually. Now, I like Gloria Zion because we are what many people consider Messianic Jews, and Jews is the wrong word. Anybody that says Jews, that was a slang word, just like on Hispanics, Mexican. Okay, it was meant to be a slap.
Physically, that's in your neck of the woods, not mine.
Yeah. Okay, down this part of the world, but they're all over now, and Hispanics are everywhere. The point being is that we were adopted into God's kingdom when you received Jesus Christ. He chose the practice of Hebrew as the religion that he would work under. Now, it was greatly perverted. He would not recognize, when he comes, if he came today, he wouldn't recognize any church or any synagogue out there to be that which he desired to be. Everybody has pieces of the loaf. None of us have the whole loaf. Some have a few more slices than others. Okay? And that's what we got to recognize. Who's got the best bread? Who's got the best bread that's being served? Go there and eat is what I'm telling you. And you don't have to join anything, but you can go there and eat. Is it the praise and worship that brings you? Is it the word that brings you? Is it the prayer groups that bring you? Doesn't matter. Let God lead you. Now, I have been ordained in 4 denominations, so obviously God has led me from place to place to place. I'm an unusual individual, but I've always sought after truth. So seek truth. Seek wisdom. Let God. I want to call on a couple people that I said that I would speak to earlier, and I know one of them left the call, and I think he came back. Yeah, Robert. Mr. Zuluaga, and yeah, all of you are friends and associates of mine. There's some of you that are very close that I've developed great relationships with. Robert and I have a great relationship. We're dear brothers in Christ, and God has plans for us. We're going to do things together. It just hasn't been the season yet, but God's opening up that season. Robert has been in a lot of court situations, okay? Now, Robert, you heard me use that example earlier that give me the factual of it, the truth of it, if you don't mind, and then whatever God's got on your heart from these calls or from wherever you are, will you share with us for a minute about these things? And what I gave reference to was when the judge told you that it was not a court of law, I mean a court of justice, but of administrative court. That was my reference. But how has that played out in your life? Go ahead, sir.
Well, good evening, Wade. It's, it's interesting when someone else recounts something that you've said or that you've heard. I have to be honest, you recall it much clearer than I do.
Well, you spoke it to me right after it happened.
I'm a bit like, and I'm not going to equate to his genius at all, but I'm going to equate to his being very present. Einstein said, when they asked him if he knew his phone number, he says, why should I keep a piece of information like that in my head when I can look it up in a minute in a phone book? So I simply say that to say, you said, look forward, look to the future, look forward. I honestly recognize that I am in the hands of God. I'm in totally in his grace and in his favor. He has delivered me from that courtroom. It was a bankruptcy courtroom where I was looking to dismiss or to put a slowdown on a foreclosure process. And God gave me words to say at that time. That's all I can say. Yes, he gave me the words to say. I spoke them. And the truth was revealed, and I recounted it to you and others at that time, and you've remembered that. So, praise God for that. But it's there was a truth there that was spoken. And in a parallel to that, one that I do recall, I was probably 22 years ago, 23 years ago. I lived in Denver. Well, I had 3 traffic stops in a row. At a time when I was learning the process of my right to travel. So I didn't have a driver's license. So I get stopped. The next time the stop gets escalated, and the third stop, there was like 4 cops around my car. And it was just a routine traffic stop. Anyway, I had my day in court, and my day in court was on a Christmas Eve or something like that. And I was in front of this judge for over an hour, and the prosecuting attorney was livid, just livid, that I would be wasting the court's time, and she could actually be out doing her Christmas shopping for her family. And the thing that struck me when I went into that courtroom the most was the judge's comment. He said, we're in this court of law, and our job is to give the appearance of justice.
Yeah.
And it just intrigued me. It's like, really? To give the appearance of justice. So that has stuck with me in terms of this whole idea of the corporate judicial system versus, a lawful judicial system. And now you're taking it to a whole new level here with God's judicial system, and then how that, kind of weaves together. So, and I have to honestly say to anyone listening, I only speak any authority I have, and people have said to me, Robert, you're very articulate in court, you've done really well, all this. I'm like, it's totally the grace of God. My brain doesn't hold all of the pieces. It doesn't hold the pieces of how the court system works. It's just, it's overwhelming. You used the word earlier. It's overwhelming. So I don't pretend to have mastery in that regard. And I've been my own attorney or whatever representative. I've been a fool in court on 2, 3, 4, 5 different times in my life. So I probably should shut up because now you're listening to a fool, right? So. All right, so I'm done on that topic. Now let's go on to what you're talking about with healing. That one I'm really excited about. I serve in a home church that's just been birthed into something that is called God's Living Room. And pastor doesn't refer to it as a church. He calls it as a triage clinic of healing. And he has... been healed. God has healed him from multiple sclerosis, MS, and it took him 20 years to recognize, wow, I'm really healed, for him to be able to really step out in confidence and really move in the power of the Holy Spirit in ways that God has been tutoring him carefully over the years. And it's just really exciting to be in his flow as he delivers God's word and shares with it. And the people who come for healing and the sort of deliverances that are happening are very, very exciting to me. So that's on a weekly basis. That's the sort of fellowship and where I feel God's calling me. And I minister in healing rooms a couple of times a month under a different ministry, and that's out of it's a John G. Lake ministry.
What a ministry.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting and very simple and very powerful how God's showing me. It's not the man up the front, you know, you go and you get healed by it. This is the body of Christ. God speaking to each one individually, and we generally do it in twos or threes.
Let me give a commercial for what you're doing right now. Those of you that don't know who John G. Lake was, he was called one of the generals of faith in the United States. And as many people were healed under his ministry as Catherine Kuhlman, which a lot of people recognize because she was in the 60s and early 70s. John G. Lake was a powerful, powerful ministry that they're going under that name doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're not worshiping John G. Lake. They're just following the precept of a ministry. Enough commercial. Give me.
Yeah, and that's just I like to give a recognition of the root of where a teaching comes from. But John G. Lake's name is never mentioned in the healing rooms and the healing ministry that we're doing. It's just people come who are broken, who are injured, who are hungry for healing. And this week, only testify to the amazing power of God moving. We had a guy who was on oxygen, old guy on oxygen, come in, and when we, you know, time of prayer and preparation beforehand, praise and worship and stuff, and so I'm walking in, and he's there with his wife, and she engages me in conversation, and starts telling about his oxygen thing, whatever, for years, and he walks out of there after a team with, and one of the people who prayed with him was a traditional doctor, and he put a oxygen meter, whatever it is, on his finger. I don't know what it is, but something that measures oxygen level. Took the oxygen off and started like 82, 85, 95, 97. He stopped at 97. The machine only goes and measures oxygen levels up to 99. So, boy, somebody's trying to...
Went from being on oxygen to 100% oxygenated.
To being 97% oxygenated. Just amazing. He's dancing around the remote, praise God, you know. And so I see that in his room. I mean, I hear about that from his room when we finished. We had a lady with a titanium plate in her arm, and we just saw amazing stuff go on for her. Not only some tearing, swelling, some tearing normalized, but swelling go down, and she had no mobility in the hand, and see, by the time we prayed for her, she's turning the left and right and up and down, and she's just like totally amazed at what God's doing. And just other pieces like that. And so I see God is demonstrating his power and his authority in healing through his body, through the body of Christ here on the earth, that healing does happen today. You know, I'd always hoped I would be part of that, you know, for many years. And then God started to show me, John G. Lake started to show me, Bethel Bible out of California, started to show me Andrew Womack out of Colorado Springs with Karis Bible College.
Place. The gentleman was asking earlier. John Womack's church is an excellent place.
Andrew Womack's church is
Andrew
amazing.
Womack. Yes, Andrew Womack.
Andrew
Womack. Yeah.
And look, and people who are concerned about finances and stuff, Andrew Womack has 40 years of teaching on his website. Absolutely free. You can download all of it, any of it, anytime. I listened to 200 hours before I gave him a penny. I got to tell you, and I'm captivated by how down to earth and powerful and medicinal his word is. So, and now he's got a whole university, and they've expanded huge. It's just very, very exciting the work that God's doing through Andrew Womack's ministry. So anyway, I recognize that if God has put a seed in you about something, that he will fan it, and he will draw to you the people who are already walking in those giftings. And anyway, I'm really excited about that. And in a very short time, within a month, I'm going down to Australia. I've got a brother with MS. I've got a sister with Parkinson's. And I just have a sense that God will release an anointing through me to them, and I expect to see some exciting results. I just have a sense of it, and I guess you're going to hold me accountable and check on it in a few months' time. So.
Well,
Or agree with me in prayer. It'll just allow God to his discernment to move in that way. So
we will not accept any curse, any word curse over you. God is going to do his mighty works through your word, prayers, and hands to bring about his glory in healing and deliverance of not only your family, but many, many others.
Amen.
Anytime you get an unction from the Lord, you pray for me. I'll give you a quick testimony, Robert. You know that I have fought heart disease. I've got 8 stents in my heart. I've had 8 heart attacks. Just all kinds of attacks. I refuse to stop cutting my own yard or working. So it used to be, and my yard's just a regular yard. It's like 60 by 75. I'd take one cut across the front, I'd stop to breathe. I did that. It would take me 3 hours to cut my yard. And then I got to the place where I could take 2 cuts, and now this was with taking nitro also. And then I could take 4 cuts and then take nitro. Now I cut my entire yard, front and back. It takes me 2.5 hours because I enjoy doing it. I'm very meticulous. And I don't take any nitroglycerin.
Wow.
I don't have any breathing problems. And it's because of the Word of God and me speaking that positive word over me. I don't need this. Satan, you have no place in me. God healed my heart. I've prayed over others that needed 5-way bypasses, and God healed them of all blockages and bypass needs. I'm believing the very things that you are in healing and deliverance. It's a mindset in the spirit. It's the mind of the spirit that can receive and do that which you have asked for all these years. You were finally in a place to be able to receive it. And in that, you've gone forth and are being blessed. So you're going to be blessed. Matter of fact, I'm going to call on somebody that's in the prophetic ministries. David. Hey, David?
Yeah.
I got some units. I want you to prophesy over Robert about healing. Now, how's that for putting somebody on the spot?
About healing?
Yeah, okay. About healing. He's right. Walking in healing. Robert? Prophesy everywhere he goes. God's going to break forth healing. Whatever comes to you, let the gift of prophecy rise up.
Father in heaven, we lift up to you Robert, right?
Yep, Robert Zuluaga.
Robert.
Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I am blessed.
You know, the thing that, as you were talking, and the thing that kept on, because I was listening to things and listening in the spirit. Well, I saw the Lord taking you through the University of Healing. And it's going to start with the inward man before you see the outward man heal. Because God is going to use you to heal the whole man. And when it's all said and done, it will flow to whether it will be first outside, then in, or inside, then out.
And
so you're going to learn about inner healing, inner things, the soul, the wounds of the spirit, and the ability to see a person transform from the inside out.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I just got a word too.
Because it's more, it's the establishment of God showing his ability to be sovereign through you and to you.
I receive that. Thank you.
And so as you begin to go through this transformation and this deep thing about dealing with all of men, all of humanity, then you'll begin to know how my son, the Lord says, walked in the earth to where it said that great compassion came upon him and all were healed.
Glory, glory, glory.
The whole man. And the incident where the men that were all, the 10 men that had leprosy, and the one came back and thanked him and says, not only are you healed, but you are made whole. And that means every part of that man was made so whole in him, he walked out a different man than who he was. And so not only is the healing that's about to come and reside in that university going to affect others, but it's first going to affect you. And the things that have been needed to be healed, the Lord says, that is deep inside of you will become healed and made whole. And you will become that which has been done in you to others.
Glory, glory.
So that you may know that I am genuinely real. More than what you will know, that the realness and the wholeness and the ability to even raise the dead. Because you have been dead in many ways, but now you will know what life truly is. And out of that, abundance of life comes. Not the blessing or cursing or the knowledge of good or evil, but abundance of life flow. Because life is more than blessing or cursing or good knowledge of evil or good. It's the very essence that I use to create the worlds.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
It is imparted into you tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Glory. Lord, Lord, glory.
Wow.
Now, the Lord just gave me a word for all of us on this call in that prayer. It has to do with Robert, but it has to do with all of us. Now, I do not want anybody to take this wrongly, so I'm going to preempt it. I'm not saying this in arrogance. I'm saying this in truth through the Spirit of God. And I want you to receive it for what it is. What the Lord was saying is David was prophesying over Robert. Because you all have aligned yourself with this ministry work, this is a bold statement. But I'm raising up the dead within you. Oh, Lord, that which is dead shall be made new. The hopes and the dreams and the word that was been spoken in your lives shall be renewed. There's been things spoken over each and every one of you that you could not receive, either because of the lineage problems of curses or because of your own sin or because of your lack of faith. And God is saying, I'm removing those bondages from your lives. Some of you are going to walk in a new place of healing. See, I have no problem praying for the sick because I understand healing. Therefore, I expect people to be healed. In my faith, it doesn't have to be theirs. It's in the faith of God's, particularly if he gives me an advanced word about them. I've seen it happen over and over again. And I'm giving you an advanced word. The wind that you're going to experience is the Spirit of God. And it's going to be like a refreshing breeze blowing into many of your lives. Even tonight, even this night as you sleep, you're going to experience a refreshing wind from the Spirit of God. And he's going to bring to your remembrance that which has been promised not only to you but to your lineage. And it's going to awaken that which was dead because the accuser had it in judgment against you. that because you've agreed and come into line with what we're doing, not me, not Wade Butler, but the Spirit of the living God, Yahweh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Yeshua, Jesus, because you've come in agreement in that line, he says, I'm setting you free that you may set others free, that you may become a light in the darkness, that you may become a healer of the brokenhearted, a restorer of the breach, a reconciler unto the Lord. If you have suffered in the areas, now many of you have actually called, and there's some of you that I've got to deal with and talk about this, even if you have an area of poverty mentality, God has said you never were meant to be in poverty. And even though things have happened in your life that has brought poverty on you, I'm bringing my inheritance to overtake you. It's like the sowers, you know, shall be overtaken by the reapers. The abundance of the Lord is about to be released in your lives in so many areas that you never imagined, that it's so much greater than what you thought, that it's going to seem overwhelming. Where several weeks ago it seemed overwhelming, the sins and the curses of the bloodlines and the properties, what he's saying is now the blessing is going to start overtaking you. We're walking into very troubling times. Now through the end of this year, actually, there's going to be a whole lot more than just that, but we are in very troubling times, and we need to pray up a hedge around ourselves, our family, our cities, our state, our nation. The plans are to take this nation down, and God is saying, I'm raising you all up that you can be a light in the darkness, that the nation can be saved. Not all are going to be saved. Even a remnant in a church is going to be difficult, but God's saying, I'm cleaning you up that you may clean up others. And you may be light in darkness, that the word that comes from your mouth would be that that brings life and not death. So therefore, death is going to be overcome, life is going to be established, resurrection power is going to be seen, and the Father will be glorified through the Son in you. Walk in it. Walk in it, walk in it. And that's a word from the Lord, and I don't say that often.
Amen.
Yeah. By the way, there's a news flash for you all. The United States began bombing Syria as of today, right now, at the moment.
Yeah. Even the military leaders have said that is going to be the least fruitful method, that we need to close our borders. They're already here. ISIS is in the United States. Dirty bombs are here. Around the 23rd of October, which is the time they believe their Messiah is going to come onto the scene, they're destroying each other's temples, the sects, the two different sects, are destroying each other's historical landmarks because they don't want their Messiah to come through the other tribe, the other sects. They want it to come through theirs. It is absolutely the biggest stupidity I've ever seen in my life, but that's the way the enemy does things. God is saying, if you're in me and I in you, I'll be with you. Is everybody going to have perfect peace? Is everybody going to have perfect protection? Only in the Lord. So don't be afraid. Don't let fear come upon you. If Congress and Senate changes in the de facto government and it swings to the Republican side, and I can't say that it'll be any better than the other side because I've learned that they both are controlled by the same people, but if that changes, then Obama, who has already been rogue, will go ultra rogue to enact things that he wants to enact martial law. And I don't care if you voted for him, if you're a Democrat, if you're black, white, yellow, brown, it doesn't make any difference. That's what he wants to do, to tear the nation down, because he is a Muslim. And that's his plan. It's been his plan for a long time, and his nation had been stupid. And we've submitted to it. Okay? And what we have to do is pray the mercy of God upon the nation. Intercede for the nation. Don't stand in the gap because God might have this judgment planned. And we're not going to change the Word of God. We're not going to change the end times. If we're walking in this season with the blood moons and everything that's upon us, and these next 2 years is as was prophesied, and I told many of you a week ago, the prophets from old, I read you some of them. Joseph Ben Samuel said in 2017 that the age of the Messiah will come. That was 900 years ago. when he prophesied that. The Catholic Pope 800 years ago said that the last pope would be a black pope, and most people haven't understood, and I've gone over and over again, it's not the color of your skin, it's the color of their robes. It'd be a Jesuit. This is the first Jesuit pope. I mean, there's so many things that are in place, and God is saying, I want to clean up my bride. I want to clean up as many. And there's other people out there besides me teaching this. Probably doing a whole lot better job. There's a lot of people. I don't receive that in Jesus' name. I'm doing a great job. If, you know, that God is saying, I'm cleaning up my
bride. I was
going to
say, you take that off yourself.
Yeah, I break that off myself in Jesus' name. I did not receive that negative confession. We are in a time when God is cleaning up his people. Knowledge of the Lord is greatly increasing. Winning inventions. You know, I represent 15 technologies. Some of them are so far out there that most of you folks go, I can't believe that. Well, I've seen them work. You know, a magnetic generator that once you start it, never turns off. I mean, and it's just magnets. But once you spin them and they start, it never turns off. Continual source of free power once you buy it. Atmospheric water, purified water, air to water. There's all kinds of neat inventions. Cars that drive themselves. That will not allow you to have an accident from your driving. I mean, there's all kinds of incredible things out there. The phone that you have right now is more, most of you that are on cell phones, is more complicated than computers that sent the astronaut to the moon, and I can say that because I was working at NASA at the time. And they filled up buildings with the computers, and they weren't as complicated or as sophisticated or as capable as your cell phone. So what are the inventions are taking place? But it's the knowledge of the Lord that should greatly increase, and we're in that season right now. Enough. Enough from me. But that was a word from the Lord, from David and myself. Robert is going to go forth in a new realm. We're all going to go forth in a new place. Let me call on a couple of people that I didn't call on last week, just because I need to. Now, a couple of you are fairly new, and it might surprise you, so you're not obligated to say anything. If you feel like you don't have anything to say, just say, I don't have anything to say. But, Roy, would you like to share with us tonight? Is there anything you'd like to bring forth? That's under Rory, but I recognize the last name. Just depends if you want to share. 4930, last four digits of your phone number. Okay, I'm not hearing you, so you must have yourself muted if you want to share. Husband or wife. Okay, I'm going to move on. If you don't have anything you'd like to share or pray about. Edward. Would you like
Hello.
To share anything tonight? Yes.
Yes, I would. I was told to come on the call by a lady that I guess frequents your call, and she wanted me to talk about the legal side of our courts and things and give some information that would be vital to understanding what they're doing to us. Okay, to begin with, they broke down the original establishment of this nation over a long period of time, very slowly, by first implementing in 1868 the 14th Amendment. And the second one that broke it, continued and finished breaking it down, was the New Deal in 1930.
Oh, yeah. That was.
And so today, yes, today, everything that's operating in our country in toto, I mean everything, not just the courts, but all of government, all of business, everything, is all under the aegis of the New Deal. Now, the important part about understanding this is that the New Deal was just that. It was nothing but a contract. Then it was a national contract, which all the people agreed by implication now, not by signing anything. Well, they did sign, but they signed contracts getting involved in that system, like, for example, the WPA, Workman's Progress, Social Security, and all of those things, all those
contracts that we entered into.
Agencies, when they went in and got involved, it was an implied contract, or they gave their implied consent to contract with the new deal and go along with the new deal, okay? And so here's where the rubber meets the road with all that, and we need to really pay attention to this because contracts are not perpetual. You cannot make a perpetual contract. It's absolutely impossible because if you try to, the contract would be void on its face, okay? And the contract that was let or that was accepted by the people of that day, right? First of all, in order to accept a contract in that day, you had to be 21 years old. Okay, and so all the people who could have given the acceptance were 21. Okay, if you do your math, it's about 82 years now is where we are from the New Deal acceptance. If you figure 1930 as the date it was accepted, which is about right. Okay, it's about 82 years now. So those who accepted the contract would have to be adding 21 to 82, would have to be 102 years old today. They would be the original contractees of the New Deal. And there are not very many people, not very many of those left living. They're almost all gone. So what actually happened with the New Deal was the bankers could not force themselves upon the nation through our law. They couldn't do that because the law prohibited it, because our law prohibited national banks and so on and so forth. So what they used was the part of the Constitution which gives every individual the absolute right to contract. And what they did was, through their liaison or their agent, Roosevelt, they gave him the job of offering it to the people. And if you'll read his very first inaugural speech, you will read where he gave the offer to the people in the first inaugural speech. And if you'll look at Fireside Speech number 6, he explains how that they're going to enforce the New Deal through the courts. Okay? And so that's what happened. That's what created the Administrative Procedures Act over time. It created that because in the New Deal they did not add anything to protect the people from the agencies, and they got tyrannical. And so the people, you know, lashed out and said, wait a minute, these people are becoming, you know, it's becoming a police state, and we can't have that. We need some rules to govern them. And so they wrote a lot of rules to do that, but the final rules were the Administrative Procedures Act. And
that's the system that we function under today.
That's the way it is.
Procedures Act.
But here's the thing. When the contract was let, this is important. When the contract was let, the people accepted the contract. They did wrong. They actually sinned against God because this nation was created by Him Himself. I mean, we can just go back to the very beginning and we'll see it. It's absolutely no doubt about it that His hand was in the creation of this nation. So they sinned against Him by allowing a foreign power to rule over the land that God gave His people.
Right.
And what they did was, instead of running the country by law, by the original organic law that was established in the beginning, what they did was they shelved that law temporarily now, not permanently, just temporarily. They shelved that law in favor of running the country by contract. Now, contract law says that those who are the posterity or the people who were not the contract original contractees are not obligated to that contract. In fact, we can now do what you were saying before, claim our inheritance. The law has not been done away with. I've been doing study in the law since 1979. And I have studied the original organic law. The law has not been repealed by anybody. I mean, they didn't even try. All they did was they ignored it in favor of the New Deal contract. And so we've run this country all this time, since 1930, under the New Deal contract. And what we can do now, all of the courts are operating under the New Deal. They're not law courts, like what the man was saying a while ago, law of the judge. He was saying they're going to give the appearance of justice, not justice. That's right, because they don't have the authority to administer the law, the original organic law. They don't have that power. All they have power is contractually under the New Deal. And so that's all the power they have. So what we do in order to overcome that, those of us, and there's only one group of people in this country, I hate to break the news to everyone, but there's only one group of people in this country that have the authority and status under the law to go back and claim or their inheritance, their law, okay? There's only one group, and that group is the ones that are the posterity of this nation. And the Constitution under the preamble says, we do ordain and establish this Constitution for ourselves and our posterity. And those people were from England. We know who they were. They were Anglo-Saxon. And all the law, if you go back and read all the law, all of the people who wrote anything about the law, they all talk about Anglo-Saxon law, and that's what it was all about. And the Anglo-Saxon people are the only ones that can jump back on the horse and start riding. The rest have to go along. They'll have to ride the backs. In other words, and I've told other people in the past this very thing, people that are not Anglo-Saxon, I told one man, he was a black man, and he was on my program, and I said, Mr. Blackman, I said, are you taxed by the IRS? He said, yes. I said, so am I. I said, do you think that you're taxed about the same amount as I would be? Probably. He said, probably. Yeah, they go by the same rules. Okay, well, when I get free from them, then you're going to be free from them because they won't exist anymore because they're part of the New Deal. All
right, so now, I got to interrupt you because you're dealing with a remedy. This call is not about remedy. That'd be Wednesday night. What I want you to deal with in this is how we repent. You know, I understand the Anglo-Saxon side of it. My family goes back to England. My family goes to George II. He was actually German. He married the Queen because of the royal bloods, and they were keeping the lines together. A lot of people don't know England and Scotland were from the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
Sarah Judah and Sarah Judah, the grandchildren of Jeremiah. The Germans were from the tribe of Dan, as were the Norsemen.
Right.
The Russians are the tribe of Benjamin. They're from there.
Right.
The tribes got dispersed to all of them. I can even show you how the Chinese and all of them tie in.
Yeah.
And the Asians. What we're going to deal with tonight, and we're out of time. We're finishing our time to this.
Okay.
Was how do we repent for that we could be set free. And this is because you're dealing with the law of the land.
Yeah.
The law of the land, even though it goes back to the Anglo-Saxon, because, and a lot of people listening might not understand this, and you can disagree or agree with me, but I've said this on the call. When you look at when you pay off a home, you get a deed in trust. Who owns the trust?
Right.
It goes all the way back to the Queen of England. And
It does through the New Deal. And the reason why that is because all the courts are not common law courts. You can ask there's no common law courts. And so what I'm saying is that all the courts that work under the New Deal are equity courts, period. That's all they are.
Exactly.
And an equity court, if you read what equity is, equity cannot recognize real things. They cannot recognize ownership to property.
That's why the straw man and the real man. And it also
when you go in, that's exactly what they're doing. They're saying, well, all we can recognize is an equitable interest, which means if there's an interest, then somebody else has an interest too. They don't they can't recognize ownership. And
that's
so
why it goes back to taxes. The Queen of England is one of the owners of the IRS, the world, the throne.
Yes,
and
all of that goes back to
Europe.
Goes
all the way back. Yeah, and then that goes back to the Vatican, and I've actually discussed these things in the past.
Yes,
now, I don't mean to be rude to you, but this is not what this call is about. The call will be about how do we pray to break off the bondage of that. And I'm not talking about going into the legal courts of the nation or setting up a remedy. I'm talking just about the spiritual side of it. This is something that we need to repent of as a nation and as a people, and this is dealing with the courts of law in heaven, that we can gain our inheritance, and I'm talking about our spiritual inheritance, that it sets free our physical inheritance.
Well, as long as we are sinning in this nation, you know, the Scripture speaks many times about when the children of Israel were sinning, that it didn't matter whether they prayed or not because Yahweh himself would not even hear their prayers.
Yeah,
okay?
And that's where the curse
is. So we have to repent. We have to repent from our involvement in this silly contractual system that God did not intend in this country. And also we should repent for our ancestors' crimes as well because they committed a heinous crime against their posterity when they agreed not to run this country by the law anymore because that's God's law.
Now, pull that together and close it in prayer.
Okay.
That's my challenge to you. Bring that into a prayer of repentance for us as the people, as we the people, being representatives of all the way back to the Anglo-Saxon, all the way back to the Jew, because the Anglo-Saxon actually had Hebrew blood, and I can show you that in the bloodlines.
Yes, they were the only Hebrews. The Jews were not Hebrew. The Jews were actually Turkish.
They accused the Jew was a slang word for the tribe of Judah. That's what the Romans called them.
They created that word. Yes, that's right.
That's right. It's not. It was never meant to be Jews and Gentiles. It was Hebrew and Gentiles. And
generally speaking, every time the word Jew is used in the Scripture, not every time. There's a couple of places where I saw it was referring to those of the Sanhedrin, and also to the Hebrews. But in most places in the Bible, when they say Jew, it actually should be Hebrew because the people were called Hebrews.
They were called Hebrews, and we were adopted into God's kingdom. He practiced the Hebrew form of relationship, not religion. And
well, it's actually through the covenant
that's
made
right.
with Abraham. Abraham.
That's right. And that's where the church, and that's why I said earlier, if you were listening, God, Christ would not recognize a synagogue or a church today. We don't do anything like what his plans were.
He wouldn't. They're garbage to him.
So anyhow, we're out of time. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray for that, or I've got to go on. So,
all right.
How do you want to close it up?
That's fine. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we come to you at this time, Father, on this call, and we hope that the people on this call have actually heard the message and understand it well, that we have fallen way short of the glory of your glory.
Oh, yes.
And our ancestors have too. And we ask, Father, at this time, we know that we should not ask unless we do, and in fact actually repent. So when we ask for your forgiveness for the rebelliousness of our ancestors and of ourselves too. We want to take it seriously, like it's that it's meaningful, that we're actually wanting your blessing now and wiping our rebelliousness out clean. And we ask, Father, that you come back to our country, or come back to the land that you gave to your children, which is America. We ask that you come back and you restore our land and help and guide us, Lord. Help us to wipe out and get rid of all of the filth that we've allowed to come into our land and to defile the land. We were told several times in the scriptures that we should not allow the land to be defiled, and we have allowed it to be defiled horribly, almost completely. And we ask, Father, that you guide us to clean up the mess that we've made, that our ancestors have made. And to we also in this prayer want to send up an imprecatory prayer against our enemies. You've told us that those prayers, we should be praying against our enemies, not for them. Most of the pastors in our land are teaching us that we should pray for our enemies, but that is not what you told us to do. Those who are our archenemies, and also your enemy as well, the Antichrist in this country, we are to pray against them and to bind them in the spirit so that they cannot continue with their lasciviousness in our nation. And so we ask, Father, fervently this prayer. We ask that you help and guide each one of the people on this call that has heard the message and that they understand it, know what we're talking about, and if anyone on this call needs any further information, let them come forward and clarify some of what has been said at a later date. Impress upon their heart the fact that you want them to come to you with a pure heart and to no longer be in that position or status of rebelliousness against your spirit. We want our prayers to be heard, Father, and we want you back into our land. And we know that if you're not here, then our land is not worth having if you're not here, because our land was established with a basis, with your basis. And we know that it's written in all the law. It's written, the people who established the nation spoke many times of the fact that the nation the foundation was upon you. And so we just ask, Father, that all the people on this call, at least those and others, go to the others and speak to their heart and let them know that you will come back, you will hear our prayers, and you will heal our land if we will just stop all of the rebelliousness against your spirit. And in your precious name, Yahweh, we ask all these things. Amen, and so be it.
Amen, amen. Good prayer, good word. And you and I need to talk some more. So I can set it up where you can share. I want to thank everybody. We're already over about 15 minutes from our normal time. I didn't get to call on everybody. I called on a couple folks, and I want to encourage everybody. God is calling us. He's calling his people. Repentance is number one, and this over and over again we talk about that. We got to repent. Repent for that which you have done, even the sins that you don't even know you've done, sins of omission, or, you know, it could be vow breaking, it could be other things. And God is not standing there with a hammer. He's standing there with his arms open and said, repent, return unto me. It's a reconciliation. This nation needs to be reconciled unto God. And a lot of things that Edward's saying, that he didn't even speak, you know, We have brought the curses on the land: abortion, prostitution, drugs, you know, murder. We're just about to the point of having martial law called, and they're looking forward to that. They really would like to pull martial law. There are many out there that God is sending. Matter of fact, God is sending missionaries from other countries into this nation now, because we strayed so much. This land has become so defiled. So that's why this teaching is going on. This is going into the 13th week now. Teaching about reconciling the land, breaking off blood curses, breaking off the bloodline curses in your life and in your family, that you, your property, your family, your children, your children's children to come. You know, you're not going to forgive the sin of great-great-great-grandfather. That sin, whatever that was, God's dealt with that person. But the bloodline curse can be remitted, and that's through repentance, asking God to forgive you. And that's by coming to the Lord and asking him to show you what those were. So we've had, I believe, great success. We're moving forward. God is blessing us. I'm looking forward to next week. I thank everybody for being on. I am going to stop the recording now.